CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs. You're looking lovely today. Yeah, what you're not seeing is a little bit.
One of those. Hi, Gareth.
It's because you're wearing this beautiful
turban. They say
turban is. I was going to use the wrong term. How are you today?
Always happy and excited, and hopefully to be motivated to kind of present and create a fantastic show for all our future CEOs listening out there, or who are going to be downloading our podcast.
So if you can say, yes, I'm a future CEO, well then this really is the show for you. Who are future CEOs? Well, if you're a young entrepreneur who's trying to fast track the growth of your business, or if you are that individual, you're sitting in a cubicle somewhere and you have your eye on the corner office and you say, that's going to be mine one day, well then you're a future CEO. We're very grateful to be with you. And how do we do this, Lubia? How do we help them do this?
We advocate, we amplify, and we catalyze entrepreneurism all over through Africa, and we give them tools and skills. And obviously what I love the best is having really inspiring and motivating guests on our show. And what makes it better is when they're beautiful, intelligent, hardworking women who have earned their stripes in whatever industry they're in and willing to share that journey and experience.
You can only get away with saying it that way, because if I did, then I would get
named
out or something. But
it's Myra.
Yeah, we were looking at each other and we're like, okay, she's got an interesting spelling first name, and then second, or rather surname.
It's out of the frying pan into the fire. It's all difficult. So it has to be memorable.
Kutsadakis?
Myra Kutsadakis, yeah.
Oh, okay, got it.
Bravo.
Yes. Just please introduce yourself to our guests and tell everyone why they should be listening to you.
Sure. Okay. I guess because I'm on, on this fantastic show. So obviously there's something they're going to learn. Hopefully I can just be part of a learning and just all the things that have worked for me that haven't worked for me. Mm. And just to say, well, hey, that resonates with me. And also if you've, making a career out of the creative industries as well as, kind of typical industries. So I think that's always a bit of a challenge. So my name is Myra Kutsadakis, as you rightfully said. I'm the CEO of the Life Group of Companies, and it's quite interesting because it has, there are 9 companies, but they're basically in 2 areas. One is in architecture and design and strategic design, which is basically building of resorts, hotels, private islands, all those things.
All those nasty things.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? We're going to jump in.
Somebody's got to do it.
And let's just, if we go to your website.
Yeah.
There really is an island.
More than one.
Are we talking about Seychelles?
That's the North Island in the Seychelles, a little private island that we've been working on for 15 years, which is amazing. So I'm showing my age. There we go. and then there's a whole lot of other projects and like safari, like really luxury safari lodges, restaurants, all sorts of things that we've done. And then, and the other side of the business is the food business. So that's kind of where you're saying, hey, I'm creating magic for people, shouldn't I be doing it also for me? So we've made a portfolio of very nice restaurant properties, and there are 8 restaurants. The one we just opened in Cape Town,
Life Grand Cafe.
Woohoo!
That's one of our favorite spots there in Waterfall. So thank you for giving us a great place to bring all of our clients when we want to have a meeting with them and a meal.
Yeah.
Phoebe, all right. So who we're sitting with? We're sitting with someone who is a founder, who's also a CEO. We've got to mix up these questions a little bit. What's your first question?
When did the entrepreneurial bug bite? When did you know that this is what you were going to do, and how did it start? Tell us a little bit of a story.
A bit of the background. It's interesting because I think in a way they're born. I think you can develop entrepreneurship, but I think you also just have the bug. You're born with it. And so I guess just going back, my dad died when I was 30 months old. My mom never remarried. Very strong kind of like survivor. Really had nothing. And so we just, you know, she was always very like, you will always work for yourself. You will always do something. So I think also kind of telling people from the start, be independent, you know. So that really helped. And I even remember as a little girl, you know, kind of, you know, watching Magnum P.I. and that and saying, you know, I was always getting into a helicopter and saying, you know, TC, take me there, sharp, you know. And I was always having the kind of a bit of a global, I always knew I wanted an international career. Which is strange, and prophetically it came true. I chop it to a lot of, which is crazy. It sounds like totally like from another world, but it's not. And I just always wanted to work for myself. So I actually started working at the flea market. I started helping my mom at the Rand Easter show. So it was really like
just honest and humble beginnings.
Totally. I was in a little flat in Killarney, and that's how we kind of just did it. And my sisters also ended up being quite entrepreneurial as well. So I think it's that nature nurture thing. I think you've got to have it, but I think you can also nurture it and say, you know what, I dig this. I like the responsibility and the backstop here-ness of, you know, of that kind of life. And so that's kind of where that started.
So some people may look at you and say, okay, wow, it's just been this one success to the next. Mm. You have had some failures along the way, surely.
Big time.
And we do like stories, but we particularly like vulnerability. Be vulnerable. Mm. Tell us about a story that maybe no one even knows, and you're going to reveal first here on Future CEOs.
Okay. Look, I think along the way, there are many. You know, I'm just trying to think which one. Which one do you want to hear? Generally, you know, they are, I think it's just, you know, falling down and getting up again. Working with, like, say, one particular client and then saying, I find every time I've kind of mastered something, I get bored and I want to move on, you know, and do another thing.
How long does that take?
Probably a couple of years, more than a couple. Mm. So let's say, for instance, I studied in interior architecture and design, which means you can build up to 3 floors plus. And so I'd kind of master interiors. Then from there, I wanted to master architecture. And, you know, you can be a brilliant interior designer, but then you can actually be quite an av architect. Mm. So you kind of find out, you find out the hard way. But at the same time, you just move the goalposts. Mm. So, you know, I also find where the strengths lie and where the weaknesses are, you know. I guess the way to do that is, and I know you want a story, and I'm just trying to think which one do I tell you. Generally, our buildings are amazing, and they have been great. But then I'll say, okay, now from this, I want to open my own business. I want to rather, you know, clients would come to me and say, oh, my God, you've got the Midas touch. You know, you take our brand. We did the Tasha's brand from inception when it was a Nino's and built it up, you know, over 5 years until they got bought up by Famous Brands. We did Fabiani, a clothing retailer. And then we
The Famous
touch.
You do, girl.
And then they get listed, you know, and Fushini group buys, you know. So it's kind of, it's a happy thing. Mm. But there are moments there when you have to choose and you say, like, okay, so I'm going to lose all your business, but then I'm going to actually focus my light on my own business. So, for instance, when we had done the Tasha's brand for 5 years and we'd kind of grown them up from everything, branding, this, that, everything. You know, to say, okay, we'll lose this business because, you know, we said, okay, we're not, you know, monkeys, we're not going to get paid peanuts. So if you create something new every time, it's a new, so that protection of your intellectual IP. And there's a time when you say, okay, I'm not doing this anymore, that you feel like you're kind of falling without a parachute. When you say, okay, now where's the next job coming from?
Oh, tell me about it.
When you're a professional or in the creative industry, am I right?
Yes, you know? Girl.
It's like, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like you don't know where the next job is coming from.
I can't believe you. A woman of her caliber and her experience also has those kind of questions, Gareth. You know what I mean?
What's so interesting?
But it happens even today. You know, come January, I know that I have the safety net of my own portfolio that I've created now, so that I have restaurants which are more, you know, repeatable. It's a brand that you can build and that you can nurture. But when it comes to design, I'm still sitting there going, hello, where's the next job?
Job to job.
You know, which is crazy. And it's that, but I do believe that when you throw yourself out there and you actually grow wings. you're either going to fall splat on the floor or you're actually going to grow wings. And I think sometimes necessity breeds innovation. And you actually say, actually, maybe I will do that job. Mm. I wasn't going to do it, but I will do that. So I think that's been a big thing for us.
And it's all of our experiences, which is so important. There is a question then that comes out of that. What skills do you need? So at the bottom of your career, you need to develop skills. It seems like you're using very many of those skills now anyway. What are those skills? If you were to name three top skills that have helped you to be where you are today.
I don't know, immediately I think hardship. I think too much softness is not a good thing. I think too cushy a start, arriving too soon. Mm. I think laying wide foundations. In other words, nurturing your skill set in the beginning. And unfortunately we live now, especially in a very immediate, you know, Instagram, Insta moment, Insta happiness, Insta everything. So I think what's happened is everyone wants to be famous yesterday. And there's an interesting talk on TED Talks recently that talks about happiness, and it says, what is happiness? And they say that the current generation is very much current. You know, we're still current. I think I'm still current. But I think the thing is that there's this thing on fame and instant wealth.
Yeah.
Whereas the principles that maybe, and I'm not that old, but I mean, I think maybe just different generation is it's more on kind of more like value things. So what happens is I think I spent a lot of time underground kind of building a solid foundation. So studying, you know, for 4 years, getting my honors, getting my, you know, I've got 3 degrees, and there's a lot of schlep in that, and doing double time, and then like not earning anything, and kind of seeing other people escalate really quickly, but then they almost plateau out. So I think getting a sound, and especially if you're in a skills-based field where it's actually a real thing, where you really need to know how to do technical drawings and break down things, and you know, do the
specialized.
Hard. Yeah, if you rise quite quickly, as long as you've got to build that substance, so that you've got something to fall back on as well. So I think build deep foundations.
Maybe I like
that's
that
the architect in me.
No, it's very very nice. It makes me think of a tree. Deep roots create a really strong kind of tree. Luby, we've had a couple of interesting women in studio. You've also asked some interesting questions with them. I don't want us to go too woman, pro-woman here, but let's go pro-woman for a moment or two. If you were to speak to a young lady who's an aspiring future CEO who is in a position where, well, she's feeling perhaps excluded, she's feeling like the world is dominated by men, in which it sometimes is. What do you say to her?
You know, and in the age of Trump, I think you can't be enough pro-woman.
Mm.
And I think there's a counter movement as well that you can see happening right now as we speak. And there's a reason for that. I think it is a lot harder. But to be honest, I have 402 staff now. And when I mentor my female staff as well, I'll tell them, hey, girl, you know, like, just don't back off and take the easy thing. Or it's not an emo thing. Don't be emotional. It's just practical. It's about the business. You know what I mean? It's just try and compartmentalize the stuff that creates noise and just say, what are they really asking? What does this job really mean? What does this really need? So I think like that, and I think a lot of people are also plagued by a lot of self-doubt, whereas there's no one else who's going to be your hero and your champion. So you've got to champion you. And, you know, whereas I don't say I've ever tried to mentor just one type of group, just women in my company. It's like just mentor talent, you know, just be talented, rock up, arrive, do the graft, don't fall back on, I can't this, I can't that, and, you know, just, we do have to work a bit harder when, you know, I've got a lot of, I think currently I've got about 5 staff on maternity, it's killing me, it's killing me, but I'm a mom of 2, so I get
you
it.
You know how it is in the industry, you know, especially being creatives, and I also just form part of a mentorship group, because it's so hard just to be an artist and a creative and be a mom as well, those spaces are just few and narrow, so we have to be able to access those opportunities to our younger women out there. But on another note, for me, you spoke about TED Talks. Yep. What other sources of education and information and knowledge do you thrive on?
Mm. God, I'd have to be honest and say, I mean, I do love the TED Talks. I love going to conferences as well. So something like a Design and Dab, I find deeply inspiring. If I get the chance, I like to go to, you know, overseas, like hear talks. You know, I'm attracted by successful people as well. If, you know, and there's a humility in saying, yes, I've done one or two things, but hey, how did you get where you're going? So I'm equally curious. Cultivate curiosity, just an insatiable curiosity, and ask the hard questions. Don't be overawed and intimidated when you see someone amazing. Just say to them, like, how did you actually crack that? You know, I have a client, Jochen Zeitz, who's the CEO, ex-CEO of Puma, Gucci, Saint Laurent, all those brands.
Wow.
He did his place in Kenya. And the guy is just amazing. And I'll ask him the obvious questions, like, how did you do that? Exactly what you're doing with your program, which I think is fascinating, and I love the topic, and because it's the, and I think the greatest generosity you have is just deconstructing it for people and saying, it's not that of a magic art. It's just a lot of perseverance. It's just keep at it, and have a unique voice. You know, don't be afraid to. I think there's too much conformism, and that creates sameness, and the sameness doesn't allow you to rise above the rest. So even if you're wonky and weird, your weirdness, you know, comes out. Like, funny enough, you mentioned before, like, about the tree, you know, and they describe the country of Morocco. I feel very much like that often, where they say, I feel like I have my roots in Africa, but I have my leaves in Europe, because I've got a Greek origin. And I think sometimes that hybrid thing, where you mix two things that shouldn't work together, but they do, I think that's also a USP. And people need to find, what is their USP? What are the two elements in their character that make them unique, you know? I think that's
like it.
It's just find things that shouldn't work and make them work.
I like the idea of USP, because a lot of people will use other maybe vogue, but also vague terms like passion.
Yeah.
Now, I'm certain that we can all sit around the table here and say,
USP, yeah,
passion is fantastic, but USP really,
I like that a lot.
It goes
well
to what can you really deliver?
I like that a lot.
Far away from your passion are you, or is your USP?
Yeah, I like that question. I think, you know, what is interesting is, they are actually the one and the same thing, to be dead honest. I'm one of those lucky people that when other little girls were doing kind of dolls' dresses, I was literally doing their houses and their environments and saying, well, she's going to live here. It's a great outfit. Where's she going to live? What's she going to do? And I think I also enjoy the art of creating. I mean, when you say creative, I had a client, you know, and she was saying, you know, husband's not creative. I said, hey, babe, you have 400,000. He's just listed for 80 million, 800 million. He's pretty creative.
Yeah, he's creative.
So I think creativity is a little bit, it's owned a little bit too much by maybe the visual arts or the theatre, you know, the performing arts. And I think in a large sense, it actually shouldn't be. It belongs to a lot more than that. You know, I find designing a menu very creative when I'm doing Potato Shed or Gentleman's Art House. Yesterday we were doing a tasting, and as we were talking, we said, well, why don't we do a bit of an Alice in Wonderland thing? And we said Wonderland Wednesdays, and then it kind of goes on this rapport. So we moved from design of the three-dimensional environment into the food environment, into the kind of branding creative concepts environment. Why not? Why shouldn't we hybridize and go, you know, multidisciplinary against across things? And I think part of the USP is that I don't only wear the hat of the foodie with my restaurants. I don't only wear the hat of the designer. I'm kind of crossing or the business person. And I think when you mix those different things, magic happens.
Well, I like with what you're saying.
Woo!
Yeah, you're speaking Luby's language, but
I like it.
I guess we get too maybe caught up in the idea that one is creative, one isn't. But when you pull back the layers, if you really go a little bit deeper with what creativity is, it's all about stirring emotion. And so you find your expression or your ability to express that in one way. Maybe you do it in front of a camera, on a stage perhaps. I do it while singing in the shower.
Everyone's got their way.
Yeah. But I think we must go to the foundation. Find out what it really is all about versus just this okay, you're an actress, you're a designer, these kinds of things. We must go a little bit further.
And energy, energy. I can't stress it enough, you know. And it's like, you know, they say there's an amazing book that I really recommend anyone
read.
We love books on the show. The best book. I think I've bought maybe 20 copies. I have always in my office. I always give them out. I should have actually bought
one. Why did you bring...
Sorry, okay, I'm coming to visit.
I'm
giving you a copy.
Yeah.
And it's basically called, it's not, and it sounds so schmaltzy, but it really is good. It says it's not how good you are, it's how good you want to be. And it's by Paul Arden. And it was written for the creative industries, but he says things like, you know, energy, if you haven't got it, be nice, you know. And what I mean by energy is just arrive. And I think both creativity, whether you're creating businesses or anything, has to be with the art of creation, which means the art of doing. It's not going to come and sit on your lap. It's going to... I find that I never start at zero on every project, whether it's a new business or a new design or whatever, or a resort or a hotel. I'm starting from the foot, you know, off the foundation of the last one. So by the art of doing and creating, you're fine-tuning your skill. So people say, oh my God, you're so talented. And often I think, like, am I really talented? Am I just been doing this for long and doing it and not being arrogant about the fact that I've got a lot to learn still?
Driven by enthusiastic, artistic energy, I think you are.
Oh, I love that.
You like that?
Yeah, I love that.
Give us another book.
Another book. Like? Okay, a book that I've reread now. I'm a bit like, I've read quite a bit of this. Anyway, stuff that I like. There's a book called The Meaning of the 21st Century by James Martin. It's a freak out. I recently read it because of what's happening now with Trump and the change in the global kind of whole place where we live.
Yeah.
So where I've worked in, and why I say even ecosphere, is because I've worked in green, basically, in green design and green developments for 15 years. Mm. So it's quite heartbreaking to me to see is any of this work going to be undone by the kind of the search for profit. So I think business with a conscience is really important. And what this book talks about is concepts of Fortress America. So this is a guy who wrote The Wired Society in the 70s, and he said people will walk around with computers on them, and people were like, freak out, what a weirdo. And he said people would have, so it was basically on the IT revolution. And he wrote it in the 70s. He was, you know, consulted companies and countries, and, you know, from his private island in Bermuda, because that's what you do when you get it right so soon. And he got it right.
One day.
Yeah. So read this book. It's amazing. It's not prophetic. It's more like it really talks to the future, but from a now perspective. And I read it maybe 10 years ago, and everything this guy says is actually happening. Everything, terrorism. So, you know, I'm kind of interested in the world that we live in, and also how to be part of the change and being the good side of that change. So that's a kick-ass one. Sorry, I don't know if we can say that.
No,
have you got a recommendation?
You can say whatever
you like. You can say whatever you like. So, I know I'm jumping a bit forward, but I love this woman. So what would you have said to your 21-year-old self about your journey? I know I'm jumping ahead, but I just want to know.
No.
What would you say to your 21-year-old self?
Oh, God, don't beat yourself up so much, chick. Just don't sweat the small stuff. You're getting there. I think there was but in a way, I think part of that, I had a mantra for many years, which was, good is the enemy of great. And it did serve me well for very long, for at least a decade, because it was, good is the enemy of great. If I can do it well, why can't I do it brilliantly?
Nice.
So it made me do things to like a form of excellence, but it's a fascism of perfectionism, that once you have done one or two things, you need to say, you know what, that mantra served me well, nice, I'm going to park it to the side now. I'm not discarding it. I'm just saying it worked for me, but now I need something gentler, or I need to evolve, as you say, I need to evolve from that. So where it was, good is the enemy of great, I'm thinking actually good is pretty good as well.
Yeah.
And then taking a more gentler approach and saying, you know, what's your next mantra? What's your next kind of you know, kind of thing to move on to.
I just think good is better than great. I like it, but it would paralyze me, I think. There's a certain these final little steps, you know, the 91, the 92, the 95%, that's hard to get to, and that would take a lot of time and a lot of emotional energy.
Yeah, totally. And you beat yourself up too much. Yeah. And I think that's the falling, that's where a lot of people fall flat, and I include myself in that group, in the sense that, like, it's fine. Don't sweat it too much. Mm. You're doing all right.
But don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah. And in a way, I think for a lot of time, I was just working. I feel like I was working with my face to the desk for years. And then I suddenly looked up because the noise was like, you know, there was and representing South Africa and different countries and whatever. And I think that it was the acclaim that kind of made, and I think in a way it's good, because nowadays people look for the acclaim first and then see what can I do to get the acclaim, as opposed to saying, let me do what I do, and if I'm awesome at it and kick ass, as we say, the acclaim will come anyway, the money will come anyway.
Well, that was my question, was surely the great has put you where you are, so surely you have to be a little hard on yourself?
Hard-assed.
Yeah, and maybe hard-assed as well. not a bad way to describe it. Do you know, we're actually running out of time. I hate our time moves so quickly. Can I ask another question?
Yes.
So you go from being a founder to being a CEO. There's a big difference there. Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that difference. In this journey that you've been on, what are your three the three pillars of your CEO leadership? Mm. As you sit here now, what are the three things that you lean on when you're interacting with those that are working with you, when you are walking around your offices, when you are trying to motivate staff? What are the three things that you do?
It's funny, because I was talking literally about this morning with a partner of mine. I have, in my different businesses, I actually have majority black partners, fun enough, not for any BE reasons, but just because we get on and we enjoy each other's way of thinking. And that entrepreneurial drive is a very thing that we attuned with. Mm. And funny enough, I said to my one partner, Kuseli, I said to him, you know, grow people. Because I was talking about, you know, one of my businesses. And I was saying, just like, you've got to understand, especially if you're in the restaurant game, for example, you're reliant on people everywhere. Certain industries are less reliant and certain industries are more. And if you don't growing people frees you up, gives you wings. You know, okay, I sound like I'm plugging another product, but it's not. It's my Frank Cafe. Don't worry,
we like that product as well, so it's okay.
So it's really about growing people. If you grow people, it means don't hold on to, and don't kind of like be, you know, kind of very jealous with your information and your magic. Give the magic away. I always believe that, I have to believe that there's a bottomless kind of like well of creativity and optimism, that there'll be more. It's not going to get depleted. Don't believe that if you give off your magic, it's going to be depleted. It's not. It's just going to regenerate and more will come from there. So I'll say grow people, and that buys you the freedom to do more stuff. So then you say, you know, what we were saying before, like how you become a Ganesh. How do you grow? How do you juggle? You know, I've got two kids. I've got my businesses. I've got a couple of things on my plate. And I say, what do I do? Is you just grow another arm. But by that other arm is actually other people, and by you rise with other people when they rise. So that's the one.
Do you know that I'm going to have to interrupt you?
Two and three quickly.
Or we can save it for next time.
Two and three quickly. I'm like tender hooks here. Two and three quickly.
CEO stuff. Always optimistic. That's it. Always optimistic. Drive. When you're a leader, it's your job to be positive and push ahead. Zero space for negativity and pessimism. Third CEO thing, just be grateful. Be grateful you're here. Be grateful that you arrived. Be grateful for the journey, the good, the bad, the up, the down, the ugly, the whatever. It's all part of the journey. It's all good.
Gratitude never allows you to get too far ahead of yourself, isn't it? It keeps you grounded, as you say. It's very, very nice. Very nice. Thank you for the conversation.
You're exactly what we needed today.
I needed those too.
Wow, thank you so much. Wow, I'm going to get a hold of you. I'm going to get in touch with you.
Thank you. Please do.
I will.
Just very, very quickly, how do people find you if they are interested in accessing this talent that you have?
Yeah. Okay, so I think the best thing is just onto my website, www.life.za.com. So not .co.za, so www.life.za.com. And there you can see all our projects. And then www.life.za.com. www.lifegrandcafe.com, and then our other two babies, www.gentlemensarthouse.com. It's not just for gentlemen, by the way.
I was reading up on it. It's quite
interesting. It's epic. And then Potato Shed, but just or just come into one of our stores in Hyde Park and Pretoria and Cape Town. And we're always there. We're accessible, and I believe that a lot of my people are like my ambassadors. So you can talk to anyone, and you'll get a direct line.
Fantastic, Myra. Thank you so much for the conversation. It's been fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be with you right after this break.
Don't go away. CliffCentral.com.